NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Sally Herships in for Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. So a lot of Americans who have tried to buy a house recently know that the market is hot. Prices in cities are up 24% this year, according to Redfin. And that's if you can even find a home for sale.
And as you know, a lot of the story behind these price increases is supply. We've had years of low housing construction. And even though the prices are saying, build, 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 it's not that easy. Labor is scarce and costs for materials like lumber are extremely high.
And this showed up in the housing starts numbers today. It showed a bit of an increase in new homes being constructed, 3.5% higher than last month, 1.5 million new homes over the last year. But a lot of analysts were actually disappointed. It's not nearly enough to make up for the housing shortfall that the National Association of Realtors estimates at closer to 6 million.
And aside from supply, of course, we have demand. Super low interest rates and more savings from the people lucky enough to have kept their jobs last year. It is a perfect soup of expensiveness, a perfectly pricey soup.
It's been crazy. Like, seriously, I have never seen this in 45 years.
This is Ellen Campion, who works for Redfin in Washington State. And we spoke to her because even within a hot market nationally, those outer areas around tech hubs like Seattle, they are even hotter. And a big part of demand for her is a wave of millennials reaching their first home buying years.
She says that millennials love space and a yard. Schools?
Schools?
That's not really the stereotype you associate with millennials.
Wait a minute. What about, like, motorized scooters? Like
riding an Uber instead of getting a driver's license?
Nose piercings? Tattoos?
Single origin coffee?
Craft beer?
Finely manicured beards? Look, millennials are getting older, but it almost seems like they're turning into their parents. So today on The Indicator, we enlist the help of a millennial economist, Ellie Wolf.
You have to understand demographics to understand housing.
We bust some millennial myths and we ask, are millennials just younger boomers?
This message comes from NPR sponsor Plaid. There's a finance app for everything these days, but how do you know which ones to trust? That's where Plaid comes in. The most popular finance apps and services use Plaid to help you securely connect your financial accounts. The best part? There's no extra work for you. Plaid is already used by over 4,000 finance apps. The next time you're signing up for a finance app, look for Plaid, the safer way to share your financial information.
To understand trends in millennial home buying, we spoke to Ellen Campion. She's been helping people buy and sell homes since she was 19 years old. She loves the work, she doesn't like taking vacations, and she's seen some things. The 1980s, when interest rates were 13% plus, the early 2000s, when there was a mad dash for housing, followed, of course, by the 2008 collapse.
And yet, for her, nothing could compare to just how many people wanted to buy houses over the last year.
I was so busy that, I mean, I could barely breathe. Working, I'm going to say, a minimum of 16 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, essentially really. Just working
just
and eating
working, doing nothing else. Yes.
Ellen lives in the Pierce County area of Washington State. It's a little south of Seattle, so you could drive an hour or so into the city if you needed, but you get the benefits of the countryside.
We have mountains, we have water, we have rivers. It's a fantastic area.
Good salesmanship.
Yeah, I'm sold.
It's almost like she does this for a job.
So you can imagine a lot of Seattle office workers had the idea that Pierce County would be the perfect place from which to work from home. It would be cheaper and more available than downtown Seattle with more space.
Ellen has been on the front lines of this nationwide surge. And yeah, she's seeing a lot of cashed up baby boomers paying top dollar. But she's also seeing a lot of millennials.
What I am seeing, especially with my younger clientele, is that they want a little more space. Mm-hmm. They want good schools. This has been just a year for seeing things that I had not seen.
And that got us thinking, is everything we have assumed about millennials in the housing market wrong?
Every year for the past 5 years, I've done a millennial survey.
Ellie Wolf is the chief economist at Zonda, a home building analytics company. And this survey is filled out by about 1,000 millennials every year above a certain income level where home buying could be a reasonable prospect.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you want to buy a home, if you want to rent forever. I just want to know what you're thinking.
The millennial generation is pretty important when thinking about housing trends. For one, it is the biggest generation. And also, millennials are reaching their first home buying years. They could shape the market for decades to come. But there are a lot of myths about what exactly the millennial home buyer is looking for.
All right, let's do millennial myth busting. True or false, millennials don't really need a kitchen because they're just using DoorDash and all these other apps to just order takeout.
False. I can't relate, but millennials love the kitchen.
Millennials only love the city and apartments. True or false?
False. Up until probably 2 years ago, there was still that narrative that millennials don't want to own homes and millennials want to live urban. And in fact, from our millennial survey, we only have between 5 to 7% of millennials that never want to own a home. And in our data set, well, we saw there's a lot of millennials that actually already own homes. And the majority of millennials live 11 to 30 minutes from work, which to us, that meant close in suburbs is the most important location.
What? Millennials love the suburbs?
They love mowing lawns.
My sense of reality is imploding.
What frustrates me about the past year is everyone says, wow, millennials all of a sudden are living in the suburbs. It's like, it is exaggerated, but this is not a new trend. This is an exaggeration of an existing trend.
True or false, millennials are wasting away their housing deposits on avocado toast. It's a classic one.
Oh, it is false for the majority of millennials, but I know some people that are wasting their money away on avocado toast.
Okay.
But it is.
You've witnessed some very expensive brunches.
Some very expensive brunches. Yes, but I think on the whole, it's false.
Allie added that her survey did show that last year's restrictions on travel and eating out did seem to help with her millennial respondent savings. 60% of them saved more last year than the previous year.
Final true or false, millennials are working remotely more and relocating around the country, shaking up the property markets of small towns.
I would say yes. I would say absolutely relocation buyers are transforming the housing market. It is not every market. It is not every home. But I have builders say to me, between 50 and 80% of my home sales are coming from relocation buyers. To me, the cluster of new people moving in creates this virtuous cycle that the more people that move in, the more companies maybe want to do an HQ2 in those locations. The more boomers maybe want to move. We know from our data that 25% of boomers are planning to move because they want to be close to their grandbabies. So if you have a cluster of millennials moving to Austin, you may see more boomers starting to move to Austin as well.
And these trends have been causing quite a lot of work for our realtor in Washington State, Alan Campion.
Two offers, three offers is very normal for a nice listing. Getting 10 or 20 or 30 is insanity. So I have seen it all in this last year. I have seen all of that.
So much so that even though Ellen hates taking vacations, she decided to switch off last December and take a real vacation up near the mountains in New York State, which sounds lovely.
I did not take my laptop for the first time in 6 years.
That must have been hard.
It was. I can't even tell you. I thought I was going to have anxiety attack every day.
Where's my laptop?
That's bad. That's really bad, actually.
Ellen says that the last month or so has started to cool off slightly. And we've seen that in the numbers. We might all just be in need of a bit of a break.
You can email us, indicator@npr.org. You can find us on Twitter as well, @TheIndicator. Today's show was produced by Dave Blanchard with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
An internal investigation found that a cop with the California Highway Patrol sexually harassed 21 women. But those findings were kept secret until a new state transparency law passed. We dug through hours of tapes to find out what happens to officers who cross the line. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.